good passage, really, to begin the new year with, to think about these things, because it's another time we can recommit. And, you know, recommitment is a daily thing. Really, it is, because we struggle in this Christian life. There's so many things that pull us away from the things of God, the things that we're really here for, and we need to go back and reflect on those and just remember those. So we're going to go ahead and read, beginning in verse 10, just through 18 this morning. I'll read and you follow along. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much again. We have so much to be thankful for in the lives of the folks in this church. Father, how you have protected and how you continue to guide and direct in each one of our lives. There's not a person in this church that probably has a want, has a need, maybe a want, but not a need. And we're just so grateful for that. We're grateful for how you take care of us and how you continue to provide for us and you meet our needs. We thank you for this place that we can come to meet, knowing that the church is the people that are here. Father, we ask that you would help us, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to be that which you've called us to be. Father, I pray that you would just guide and direct this morning, that you would open our eyes and our heart to your word and the things that you might have for us, that again, we might look to you and trust you for the life you've given to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, we're living in troublous times. The days are getting closer and closer to the Lord coming back. They always will. Each day moves us closer to that time. We have no idea when that time is going to come, but there's a reason for us to be here. And as important as that is, you know, sometimes I lose focus of that. There's so much that grabs my attention, so many things that I'm diverted by and kind of lose focus. And there's a lot of things that, as I look at the Word of God, that I want to really understand and really know what it means to be a Christian. You know, when I got saved, I didn't know what that was all about. It started working in me, the Lord did, in the Spirit, and growing me. And even now, today, I feel like I'm lacking so much. Because there's so much to Christianity that I think sometimes we miss out on because of all the distractions. And so as I was looking at this passage, and the last 3 weeks actually been going over this several times, and it's like, you need to preach this again. I'm going, really? You know, everybody knows what this says. We could probably quote this passage. But really, what is it? What's the point of this? What is Paul writing to this church, and really to all saints, universal he speaks to? And why is he telling us these things in chapter 6? Now, he knows that one of the things that his desire was that every believer would come to the knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, if you'll just flip back there for a second, in his prayer, he's making mention here verse 17, we'll just pick it up there. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul's desire was that every Christian would have the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to Christians. Verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So he has, as he's praying and he's penning this letter, he's writing to these folks. And again, if you study the passage, this book, you find out it's to all saints everywhere, basically, even though it's addressed to the church there at Ephesus. And his desire is that all Christians would come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but then also the knowledge of God's plan for their life, understanding what Jesus Christ has really done for us. What was the purpose of Jesus coming? And what does that mean for someone who understands their condition and puts their faith and trust in Christ? What does it mean? What is that about? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Those who are lost, the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He says, that's who I was. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, I always like those when they come out. It starts off a little negative here, and we flip that thing right around. We're going to turn and go the other direction. Who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what God has done for us. And we see in verse 8, we'll skip 7, but let's read 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then I love this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Once we put our faith and trust in Christ, we have been ordained to good works. We're Christ's workmanship. It's Christ working in us. It's not what we try to do or try to become. It's what we allow God to do in our lives to make us what he wants us to be. There's always a struggle. We all got ideas and we all have our own direction and we all think, well, this is what I want to do. And God does give us the desires of our hearts. There's no doubt about it. But we want it to be his desires and not just ours. And sometimes we circumvent that. As yes, we were lost without hope, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he's given us a new life. The Bible teaches us we're new creatures. We have a new spirit. That's an amazing thing in itself. For years, I served in a church. Wasn't saved. Didn't know even what the difference was. And then when I got saved, God changed my life. And then I understood more about what he was trying to teach. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's that new calling, 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we're no longer servants of sin. Our lives have been transformed. We've got a different direction, just as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. He said, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And so, as Paul understood in his life that he was a prisoner of the Lord, that he talks about this walk that we're all called to walk. It's a new life. It's a new purpose. Ephesians chapter 4, he said that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's the purpose. That's the purpose that we are here today. That's the purpose we come, is to learn more about what we are to be living and experiencing in this Christian life. Paul talked about relationships, the husband and wife relationship. He talked about parents and children. He talked about servants and masters. He talked about how we're to serve, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. And so here in our passage this morning in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he kind of wraps all this up. And he's saying, finally, my brethren, talking to those that are born again, those that are saved. And even in these metaphors that he uses, he's talking to Christians here. These aren't people who are lost. These are people who are saved. And he's trying to encourage them on some things that are going to help them in this Christian life. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I know in my life, that's what I need to be, is strong in the Lord. And I thought, what does that mean? That word strong is not the dunamis that we think about so often, but it's a word that means to empower. It's a continuous action. It's talking about growing strong or being strengthened. This is something that happens a continual in your life as a Christian. You're going to read the Word of God, and you're going to look at it and study it, and you're going to go, wow, I didn't realize that something God wanted to show me or reveal to me. And you're going to have a different thought about things. I know in my life, and I can be assured in your life as well, there have been many times that you come away with a different ideology or thought about something because the Word of God has changed you. It's put something into your life, and you understand it from a different point of view. And so that's exactly what this is talking about, is that we want to be strong in the Lord, or be strengthened in the Lord. And it's in the Lord that we want to do this. It's not my will or my strength, but it's the strength of the Lord. And that, again, requires that we understand more about him. We all battle the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5, Paul stated, for though we walk in the flesh, and we do, we are on this earth, we're here, we do not war after the flesh. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not guns and arrows and tanks, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, as Paul has illustrated in his walk and his life and different passages, it's not his will that he wants to live. It's God's will. And the things that he would do, he doesn't want to do if it's not what God wants him to do. And that's where the struggle really is trying to figure out what's the difference between my will and God's will. And again, that comes through the study of the Word of God and submitting to God. Colossians 1, 10 through 11 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How important it is to increase in the knowledge of God. He said, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we want to be strong in the person of the Lord. That's who we want to rely on and trust. we want to understand and learn about him so we might know. We shared last week some character qualities of the Lord, like his love, his holiness, his meekness, his humility, his compassion, his prayers. You think God himself is praying? Yes, Jesus prayed, and often in different ways. And that's the point, is that as we look at the passage and we look at the study of the Word of God, that is exactly what Paul is writing and trying to teach us, and God is trying to teach us, teach me, is how to live the life that is being strong in the Lord. Not by my will or my might, but according to the Lord's will and his might. Because there's strength there. If I do it my way, there's not a lot of strength there. My flesh and my bones and my strength is not very strong anymore. I'm noticing this more and more as I get older. Can't go as long, can't do as much as I used to do. But his strength never changes. His strength is always there. And that's what, as I look at this, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That power is another word, Greek word. It means vigor or intensity. It's an active strength. That we can be strong in the Lord and in the power, that intensity or vigor of his might. That word might there just means force. So just live the Christian life, we need to do it in the strength of the Lord and not in the person of Bruce Townsend. God uses us and he helps us to learn along the way. We make mistakes, and I'm thankful that he doesn't give up on us, that he never says, they heard it enough, I'm not going to tell them no more. He could do that, and he probably should do that to me. But he doesn't do that. He's always there, trying to guide and direct. So here we see, he says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He tells us in verse 11 to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. He didn't say this piece or that part. He didn't say, hey, just put on the shoes, you'll be okay. He said, let's put on all of it. Every bit of it. It's important, and we need it all. We have to have it all if we're going to have victory while we're walking in this life. We already have victory. Those who know Christ as their Savior, you've been born again. You have the victory. You will spend eternity with a holy God. But today, we want the victory in this Christian life. And as we grow, and we continue to grow in this strength that we can have in the Lord, and we learn to put on this armor that God has given to us, that we might succeed in this Christian life. You know, it's not, nothing's going to count when we get to heaven if it wasn't for God. It's not going to count for nothing. It's going to be a waste of time, a waste of what we've done. The only thing that's going to count is those things we've done for the Lord. And there's a lot to that, to understand what all that means too. Because there's a lot of ways we serve the Lord. Lord puts us in a place and we can serve him right where we're at. Whether it's our job or the community, wherever we're at, we can serve the Lord. Prison, you can serve the Lord if that be the case. So he tells us to put on, or in verse 13 he says, take unto you, but he mentions it twice. That's how important putting on the armor of God is. And it's a command. And the put on really means to put it on once and for all. In other words, practice putting this on. Put it on when you get up. Put it on when you're every day of your life. And walk accordingly. And again, God is merciful. He gives us grace. And so why do we need to put on the armor of God? What's the big deal? I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm born again. And, you know, I'm going to heaven. So why do I need this armor? Well, because I do not have the capability or strength to serve a holy God. Don't do. I don't have it at all. And I don't have the strength to stand against the enemy that I'm fighting in this battle, because there is a battle here. It is a serious battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's one that every one of us are going to face to one degree or another. And so we see that God has given us something. We have the Christian source of our strength is the Lord. He's the strength that we have. How do we acquire that strength? Where does it come from? Well, that's what he's going to share with us further down. But then he tells us the source of our struggle. Well, obviously we know the first source of our struggle is me. My own desires, my will, what I want to do. But also there is the world and the devil, who is the god of this world. There's a struggle there. It's real. It's a battle. He tells us in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles means methods of the devil. There are many methods of the devil. The devil uses the fads and fashions. He uses the media, what we hear, what we see. He tries to transform our thinking to think his way and not the way that the Lord wants to teach us. Because as you have studied and you are growing in the Lord, you've found many times and many places that this is just the opposite of the way I would naturally think and naturally act. It's just the opposite. He wants us to have it our way. Because when we have it our way, it's not God's way. And why does he want you to have it? You deserve it. Find that in the Bible. You deserve it. We can find out what we deserve in the Bible. Treat yourself. We hear that a lot. Those are words and thoughts, I believe, that come from the devil. I'm not finding them in the Bible. At least I haven't since I've been studying it. It may be there. Maybe I'm missing it. But I don't see that. Because the wiles of the devil, the methods that he uses, are anything and everything that he can fool us and trick us into being lulled into Christians living in the world and having the world guide and direct us. That's his desire. Because what it does is it makes us ineffective as Christians. It squashes the power of the Lord when we serve the devil. And 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, Peter warns us, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Think about that. Is he seeking you? Is he wanting to destroy you? Is he wanting to tear your testimony? You better believe it. Now, we can let him do that. It's very easy to do that by allowing him to come into our lives, by using and following the methods, the wiles of the devil. He describes some of that in verse 12. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes I think that's where we think our battle is. It's not. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That principalities are those that are in authority. There's some battles there, folks, especially when they start infringing on our rights to serve God. That's a battle. Those powers, those who have the privilege and are powerful, the rulers are speaking of a world ruler and is an epithet of Satan, of the darkness of this world or age. Darkness is sin. Satan has many allies in leadership, and he wants to use those to influence us. He's not physically attacking us, but he's influencing us. And he does it in so many ways. The Bible tells us he's the prince of the power of the air. We just read in Ephesians 2:2. He's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's the prince of this world, according to John 12:31. He's the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. And so Paul writes again in verse 13. He says, wherefore? Wherefore why? Because of the very things he said, this wiles of the devil, these things that we're going to face and these things that we are challenged by as Christians. He says, wherefore, emphasis, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God. All of it. And he tells us why. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. I think we're living in the evil day today. Christians have lived in the evil day from the beginning of time. There's no doubt. Because the world has never been one to follow God. Never. It's always rejected God. Always will. Ever since Lucifer was cast out of heaven, it's been that way. And it's going to continue that way. And today, for us, we want to look for truth. You turn on Fox News. Do you get the truth on Fox News? Boy, I tell you, I don't think they know half of what's right, if anything. ABC, NBC, MSNB, or whatever they are. I don't even know what all the stations are. They're not, none of them, spouting the truth. Because they're not spouting or sharing what this says. Because here's the truth. Now, there's always a little truth in what all these people say. But a little truth mixed with a lie is a lie all the time. And so that's where we need to understand, have this wisdom and discernment to be able to know what's right. And that's why we want to be strong in the Lord. He says in this last part of verse 13, having done all to stand. Again, it is assumed that if we put on the whole armor of God, that we're going to be able to stand. And I believe that's true because the Word of God tells us we can stand, even in this world, even in this time that we live in. Yes, we know the victory's ours, but we still have to live today on this globe. So we need a source of security, a source of strength. And obviously our strength is in the Lord. Our security, I believe, is doing what he tells us to do, obeying the Lord. And Paul, he's going to use several metaphors here to help us to understand. And often we emphasize the metaphors and don't think so much about what he's saying. But I think what he's saying is more important than the metaphors. The metaphors give us a picture, an illustration, or some kind of way to guide us into that thinking. But the actual character or what he's speaking of is more important. And I think the first one is probably the most important of all of them, because it really decides what we're going to do and how we're going to relate to the rest of them. And so in verse 14, after he says, having done all to stand, he says, stand therefore. So we're going to have do all this to stand. He says, stand therefore. And he says, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, there are all these metaphors, the girdle or having your loins girt about, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of preparedness with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And all of those are the metaphors that were commanded to put on this whole, this full armor of God, each one of those being essential, but this first one, I think, is the most important. And why is that? Because truth is where we hang our hat. Truth on what the Word of God says is what we want to understand. Because through the truth that God wants to give us, it will lead us and guide us into everything else. What we believe and what the Bible teaches can be two different things. But what we want, I think, and desire is that our belief is in the truth of the Word of God, is what the Word of God says, and how we can follow that. Sometimes it's difficult to find out what is the practical application. Where do we put ourselves in this ideology, if you will, of the Bible? The understanding of the Word of God, and what does it really mean? What's the practice of it? I don't know how many times I sat in the service and listened and walked out the door and went and ate lunch and that was it. You know, it's like in one ear and out the other. Not thinking that this is for a purpose. There's a practice that is supposed to be here in the Word of God. It's trying to teach us to, this whole armor of God, if you will, is to put this on so we can practice the faith that we claim to have in God. And every one of us are learning and growing in this, some faster than others. Again, it depends on the truth. Studying the truth and learning what that truth is and being able to apply it in our lives. Turn to John chapter 17 for a second. So I want to know what the truth is. Jesus, he's praying here. And in verse 14, we'll pick it up. John chapter 17 says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. And then he says, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So what is he telling us? Number one, he's telling us the truth is the word of God. This is the truth. Jesus is telling us, here is the truth. He's telling us that we, those that were believers, we happen to be part of that today, that he was speaking with at that time or praying for, those people are saved people. And he tells us the world's going to hate you because you love me. And that's a hard thing to comprehend. What does that actually mean? Where does that leave us? I mean, who in here, don't raise your hands, but I don't think any of us, want to be hated. In fact, my flesh says I want to be loved by everybody. I want to get along with everybody. I don't want to have any arguments. I don't want to have any dealings with any problems or difficulties or any of that stuff. But the Word of God tells us it's not going to be that way. And he said, sanctify them. That word sanctified means make holy. So we're made holy through the Word of God. And it's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the Lord, that does that. When I got saved, instantaneously, God declared me holy. But he left me here, and I'm still got the dirt of this world and the flesh on me right now. So I'm striving to learn how to put on this armor that, again, as I am learning the truth, to take and use the truth and guide me and direct me in the things that I hear and see and what's going on to give me the right perspective. Because it's so easy to get wrapped up in lots of different perspectives. I mean, real easy. And it's easy to look at these things and look at it from man's perspective instead of God's. And that's what this whole thing about putting on the armor of God is about. Is that we do it in the Lord, and we're looking to him to be our strength and guide us. We're relying on him and trusting him to give us the right direction, and we're trusting him to do that. And that's what we're all striving to do. Although it's not always turned out that way. In John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus said, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God is looking for us to learn what the truth is and to live in the power of the Lord, understanding that God has called us He's called us different than what the world calls us. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We know he's the Word. John chapter 1 tells us that. He's also the truth. Why? Because the Word is truth. And so as we study the Bible, and we study Jesus' life, and we study the apostles' lives, and we see how they lived, and we try to glean and understand what God wants us to do. I think too often I study the world and what the world, going on in the world, instead of studying what the direction God would have me to go in this world and take upon myself the philosophy of the world. It's only through the truth that we're going to be free from this. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And how do we do that? What's the important thing? And I just want to encourage you. I know it doesn't look on your face. It's like, oh boy, this is, I'm just telling you, as I see the world, and this is for me especially, is that drawing closer to Christ is where we need to be going. And really as fast as we can to understand him and his ways more and more. And less of what we think about these things. Second Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Today I would stand and say, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed for how little I really put into what God has called me to do and how important it is. Because as we reject this verse, and we do by not studying, that's how we do it, is we find ourselves not understanding what the will of God is, what the truth is, what's the purpose and plan, and what does he have for us? It's not the same thing as the world. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. That is what we want. I want to please the Lord with my life. And apart from doing what he tells me to do, studying the word of God and looking for the truth and digging out what God is trying to teach, I pick it and I pull it and I get things out of there, but it's what I want to do instead of what God wants me to do. He wants me to know the whole truth. The truth so I can really live the life that he's called me to live. He's given us that power. If I try to do it in my own will, in my own strength, I'll never make it. But if I put it on the Lord, because it's in the Lord I'm going to trust, it's in the Lord who's going to give me the power, then as I walk according to his way, it may not be the direction I wanted to go or thought maybe that that would be the plan of my life, but it may be and it will be the way the Lord wants me to go. And that's the most important thing for a Christian, is the will of God. And how we struggle, how I struggle with that. And so the truth is foundational for each one of us. The truth of understanding what God is trying to teach us. When we study the Bible and it says something, instead of trying to be critical and come around with some other way, we ought to pray about it and accept that as truth and then try to practice that truth. We all do that, by the way, but we pick and choose. I agree with this, so I'm going to do this. I don't agree with that, so I'm not going to do that. We all get to do that. God's given us that liberty to do. That's not what he wants us to do, but we all do. I do it. I pick the things that I want, and you know, the other things, I just, nah, not a big deal. And I've got excuses and ways to do it. I don't know how many times I've heard people tell me, I don't think it's anybody in this church, but ever since I tried to start obeying the law and speeding, I've had people tell me, says, well, you know, the sheriff allows 5 miles over. How many people know that? Probably everybody in this room. If you got a badge, you can go faster than that. Even if you're not a policeman, you can do that. Sometimes they show a badge and they'll let you go. I mean, it just depends on, everybody has their own way of looking at things. But as you study the Word of God, we got to come away with the consensus of, it's not so much the letter as the Spirit. I love the Lord so much that I don't want to disobey. And we're always going to disobey. I mean, I even driving down the road, I'm, you know, 45 doing 50 or 55 going up and down hills. When I go see Nathan, I just, it kills me to drive 45. I'm always saying, why do these jerks raise up the speed limit? I mean, you know, anyway. But today we're fed a lot of mixed messages. We have some truth, and of course, if they don't align to the Word of God, they're not the truth. And to understand that is to be in the Word of God. You know, the days of our lives are going to be a time of confusion. They're going to be a time of decisions, big decisions coming down the pike. If you look at the news at all, you know that our country is changing fast. With technology, with all that's going on, nobody anymore proclaims the truth. It depends on which side you're looking at today. If you go to our political system, both parties do the same thing. It just, whenever the shoe fits, it's okay. And when it doesn't, it's wrong. It doesn't matter. That's just the way it is. Why is that? Because the God of this world has caused confusion. And he's going to cause us confusion if we're not careful. So we need to be girded. That word girded, it means surrounded. And it's a belt, is the way he explains it in this, the metaphor. It's the belt of truth. You know, the belt, I've got my belt on. It holds my shirt tucked in. Keeps my britches from falling down. It's right in between a notch. I'm gaining so much weight, I had to go to a lower notch, and I hate it because it's not tight as it should be. If I go to the next notch, I can't breathe. I guess I can get out the pick, you know, and make a new notch, whatever. But the belt's important because it holds it all together. And that truth is the Word of God. Our decisions are going to influence and affect a lot of people and a lot of things. The way we treat the Word of God and the way we treat God affects our brothers and sisters in Christ. It affects our family. It affects our church. It affects our community. And the flesh and the world, and more importantly, the devil, is trying to destroy us. He likes nothing better to have a testimony that is watered down. A testimony that doesn't really know what the Scripture has to say. Why? Because if you don't know what it has to say, you're not going to follow it. And if you're not going to follow it, we're going to miss out on the opportunities that God has before us. He has given us opportunities that I personally have missed and will miss as long as I keep trying to do it my way. And the devil, he'll use any means at his hands. Anything. You know, the devil is not in the business of saving people. The devil doesn't save people. In fact, the devil uses preachers to misguide and mislead and take people away. He wants them to believe that if their works are good enough, they can get to heaven. He'll even mention Jesus' name. The devil doesn't care for people, other than to have them follow him. The devil doesn't love people. No, he wants to maim, kill, destroy. And if Christians do not know the truth, we're going to be part of that plan. He is the father of all liars, Jesus said in John chapter 8. So this morning, as we look at this passage, and by the way, we're going to finish it up this afternoon, I hope, because we've got a long way to go still. But as we look at this passage, I want to encourage you in the truth, to seek out the truth. And, you know, we talk about sacrifice and suffering. I don't even know what that is, to be honest with you. But that's something that I need to strive to understand. It may be sacrificing my desires to be lazy. I'm not like most of you who work hard all the time. I get to sit around most of the time and do. That's the problem. But to be diligent in the things that God has called us to do. Get in the Word of God and seek it out. I mean, get in there and start reading the Bible with understanding. What is he saying? divide up the chapters or the passages in the chapters and read through those and go back and read them over and over again and ask the Lord for wisdom and understanding. Because this is what we want to know, is the mind of Christ and the will of God. And we have it right here. I don't know how often in my lifetime that having the mind of Christ, I set it down and there it was. But I didn't have it because I'm not in it. It's gathering dust or sitting on the table, or, you know, you pick it up once a week, maybe three times a week. And, you know, hey, if you're reading your Bible three times a week, thank you. But read it as often as you can. And you know what? It's not something that you can just sit there and say, I'm sitting here doing nothing. Because I guarantee you, there's not a person in this church, for the most part, that is sitting around doing nothing. If you have a family, you're doing something all the time. I mean, constant. Now, when you get the nest empty, or what is it, 5/6 empty or something, no. Then you have more time on your hands. And so if you sit there and wait for time to read the Word of God, though, you'll not do it. So that's why it's important that we take the Word of God and make a commitment to it and say, Lord, I'm going to get up and I'm going to read your Word every day. And I'm going to pick a time to do it, and I'm going to try to stay faithful to that time. Now, you won't. But you know what? You can go back to it again. God understands. Things come up. You get tired. It is hard. But once you start putting it into practice, they say 2 weeks makes a habit. I don't know. I've had lots of habits and lost them. But it's like 2 weeks might make a habit, but a couple days you can lose it real quick. But make a habit of reading the Word of God. Why? Because now, especially now, we want to know what the Word of God says. Because when the government, when the devil uses these people, these powers, these rulers, to come knocking on our door, we want to stand where Christ stands. Not where we think we should stand, because we want to please God. And so it's important that we understand what that means and understand, what does the Bible teach us in this situation? How are we supposed to respond to this? My flesh, boy, my flesh likes to fight. Words and other things, not so much physically anymore, but thoughts, ideas. But those thoughts and ideas, we want to be those that are in the power of the Lord, because that's what's important. And to do that, we need to know the truth, because it's foundational. And it's really important in knowing how to use the armor. See, the truth is really the training aspect of it. It's being prepared to face the enemy. Yes, the belt holds it all together. So it's going to hold all the components that we're going to have in this armor. It's going to help us to keep all of that together, understanding what the truth is and applying it in our lives, that we might be able to serve our Lord, which every one of us wants to do. And so that's where we're heading this afternoon, is to the next place. So we're going to go ahead and close with a word of prayer right now. And we'll have a song and then be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for there is power in the Lord. Father, there's not a person in this room, a Christian, that I believe that would desire to live their life according to what they want to do. But their desire is to live it in the power of the Lord. And I see the problem that I have with that is not always knowing what the truth is, and where the correct stand is, and where the place that we're to learn to be humble, learn to be meek, learn the compassion and love, and through all of this, realize their suffering and their sacrifice. We thank you now. We pray you just bless our time. Pray you go before us, bring us back, and help us to, again, glean much from these verses as you have given them to Paul for us. We thank you now in Jesus' name.